Hey, everybody. It is Press X to Start here, and this is episode 3 of season 5. We here at Press X to Start podcast seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view. Restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wish Nigga Wood, California, aka the janitor because of Be Watching Niggas, aka that one woman from Resident Evil 8 looks like Meg Thee Stallion, but like in the Middle Ages. And I'm with it.
That Eastern Bloc, Czechoslavian.
Yeah. Big old freak.
She made all our potatoes, huh?
Marcus Ellison.
I am Sean M.F. Ross.
What M.F. stand for?
Man on Fire.
Man on Fire.
That's good.
Oh.
That was a good movie. Look
at that. That was a long movie.
Wait, that was a movie, not just an activity?
Give me a black card. Give me a black card right now.
Do you have a good Denzel Washington impression?
Who, me?
No.
Or
no,
Sean?
Not at all.
No. Young King Kong and his mother
talking again. Surprisingly, I actually do.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't say
it
we
is
wanted
DJ,
to hear it.
AKA. Oh shit, I am DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka Nicodemus.
Oh, we brought it back!
AKA, I got a dad joke.
Oh god. Are you having another child?
I better not. What?
There's a joke in there that is quite racist, and I will not make it.
Right? He got two kids.
One was family, another was not.
The actual dad joke was, what did Pythagorean said to ABC once they start talking shit?
You're squared.
No.
It's something long.
Square the fuck up.
Yeah, okay. I know that.
First of all, a dad would not tell a curse word in his dad joke. You're a terrible father.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's a terrible dad.
Well, you know.
Anyway, Brickman, what's going on? Who are you?
Oh. Brickman. Yeah, it's your boy Jordan, a.k.a. JXBot, a.k.a. Jordan, the director. And you'll find out in a second.
Oh, the director, okay. Eh? Can I be in your movie?
Out. Y'all here with a casting couch?
No, not that type of director. Very bureaucratic. Wait, what'd you say?
I said, I need to be in your movie, cuz.
Yeah, what Sean said? What'd you say, Sean?
No, I said you, I don't even know what I said anymore. You got a casting couch?
No, never.
Someone cue the Pornhub music.
Never.
I don't know what that sounds like.
What? You don't?
I don't think I know what that sounds like.
No. Sean's just lying, guys. Just.
Anyway, okay. Well, Sean, you'll find out if you listen to this podcast. Now that we've all been introduced, we're going to what we've been playing. So what you been playing, Sean? Outside of Pornhub?
I got a long list of games because I finally finished, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and shit, that game is wild.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That ending is wild. I don't think anybody else on the cast is going to play it other than me and Jordan, so I can spoil it.
Go ahead.
And I mean, it's been out for, what, 2 months now, Jordan?
Yeah.
Granted.
Since November.
We were playing it at a rapid pace, but Eivor apparently is Odin reincarnated.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
As well as a couple people like Loki, Tyr. I don't know everybody, you know, in Norse mythology, but they focus on something called the Isu, which is like the precursor race. They had all types of wild technology. They had an animus before there was an animus, you know, type shit. Mm. And like they're fighting to get to Valhalla, and like, is, I don't even understand if there is an actual Valhalla or that like the thing that they went into was a dream state, an animus generated.
Yeah, you know. Like it was an animus dream state, and like Valhalla is kind of like Elysium was back in Odyssey, like this heavenly escape for people to kind of like upload their consciousness, like kind of like a program essentially. Because like when your body dies, at least in their religion, like you can take your mind and, you know, save it forever or something like that.
You mean Google Drive?
Basically,
save it to the cloud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a cloud.
Cool.
Assuming direct control.
But it shows like at the end of the game, if you've done like all the missions, I looked it up after a while, because I mean, I didn't feel like going back, and it's just a whole lot to do in Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it shows Odin in this, I wouldn't even call it futuristic, because I mean, it was the land before time type shit, but I mean, it looks futuristic to our eyes.
Ooh, Littlefoot?
Yeah, and Ducky. But he like uploads his consciousness and then destroys the machine so Loki, his brother, can't follow him through. And by the way, it is very hard to see them as Loki, Odin, Thor, all that shit after watching Marvel for so many years. I'm looking for Tom Hiddleston and all that shit. But
it's a pretty traditional take on them instead of fantastical as the Marvel movies were.
So they ugly, is what you're saying.
I mean, yeah. But Loki finds a way to still live ultimately, and
Loki gonna Loki.
Yep. Yeah, he tricks the protagonist in the present day of this game to basically find that prehistoric animus, and she gets uploaded in there, drops the staff that's supposed to be protecting her. He picks it up and regenerates itself from looking like an old dusty SOB. And it ended strange though, because I thought he was going to hop into animus and then something else was going to come out. So Loki from the past ends up regenerating himself and hopping into an animus. And
Loki was Basim then, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he ends up jumping back into the animus so you can finish out your quest as Abel, you know, doing all the stuff you want to do. But the way they made it seem, I thought, like, you know, more stuff was going to happen in the present day. But it is a batshit crazy game.
Mm. Yeah, like, if you had played the other two, Origins and Odyssey, you know, it was pretty shocking seeing, like, the main, like, kind of the main character, the woman who was, like, uploading her conscience into the animus for those specific people. You know, she kind of dies at the end of this game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because, like, she, like, the okay, so, in the grand scheme of things, these three Assassin's Creeds are trying to rectify what happened in Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and 3, like Desmond's timeline.
Yeah, apparently because, it goes all full circle.
Because Desmond, like, they're playing off of 2012, like the solar radiation and stuff like that is about to destroy the world. Desmond activated a device made by the Isu to prevent that from destroying the world. But that device itself is destroying the world. So what you're doing is trying to turn off the device.
Or slow that was supposed
to
save,
yeah, like to turn, like, you know, basically reverse the effects of it. Gotcha. And
how are you doing that by jumping into the past?
Because you find out where it is. You find out how to use it through characters' memories and shit like that.
I get you.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the dude that's in the device is Desmond's consciousness, to be honest.
Oh, the light being. Basically, DJ, you have like generational DNA memory, and they're just jumping through that, strangely enough. Although one thing I hate about it is that you're not allowed to kill civilians. Not that I want to on purpose, but sometimes...
But he wants to on purpose.
Sometimes they're just in the way, and it's like, if you kill any more civilians, you're going to get desynchronized.
Yeah, like restart your checkpoint.
But
you like it?
I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'm gonna jump back in it. I got enough out of it that I wanted to get out of it. I think I ended at like power level 360 something.
That's and usually I how it is.
Ended up picking up some legendary lightning pole arm weapon like right next to it by accident.
Nice.
It looks like you could just pick this up at the beginning of the game. I'm actually kind of curious to see if you can do that. Gungnir, whatever, however you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. Gundam style?
Yeah.
Did you say Gundam?
Get out.
Yeah.
Move on.
As I said last week, I started Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. This nigga actually left. nothing about this game has stood out as like super remarkable to me. It is a by the numbers Call of Duty game.
What I how does it compare to Modern Warfare? Because that's usually the contrast when, like, you know, the Treyarch ones come out, then Sledgehammer comes out, Treyarch Sledgehammer.
Infinity War.
It's a solid game, but there are a few things that just bothers me. You have dialogue choices in the game, and
oh, that's interesting.
Do you shoot him either in the knee or in the face?
Immersive.
Right.
It's just that you don't speak your dialogue choices. They're just text things
Really?
And then the thing happens, whatever you said or whatever you chose.
And I'm like, your character isn't customizable, right? Your character just playing some person, or
you can choose a skin tone, and you can choose their name, and you can choose some perks, kind of. They have a couple perks.
This
like,
is very surprising. I didn't hear about that when the game came out.
Your aim down sights time. I mean, this is just for the single player. You have like a list of maybe like 2 out of 12 perks that you can choose.
Interesting.
Or not. You know, you don't have to choose them. And, you know,
that's weird.
Your docket says classified all over unless you choose to fill it in. So, I mean, I just put in my first name and, you know, gender and...
You mean man and woman?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I'm just like, this isn't like a 100-hour game. This isn't a super deep game. They're not going to have the amount of, like, okay, to give Cyberpunk some credit, you spoke all of your dialogue choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty is nowhere near as long. There is no reason why they couldn't have had the character.
Yeah.
Speak the, yeah.
You know, the funny thing about it, that does remind me of an earlier Black Ops game. If y'all remember, like, the really obscure one. I think it might have been 3. Because, like, the one right before 4 would have a full storyline, and you can choose your character's gender. It had a dude from Law & Order SVU in it also. And they talked, I mean, like, you know, like, it wasn't like you can choose their lines, but, yeah, they had both man and woman dialogue.
It was just a perplexing choice, you know, that I saw. I have played the multiplayer. It is a, I'd say, return to form, but a lot of people are complaining because it seems like they're actively making Modern Warfare and Warzone worse to push Cold War onto people.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, like the gun balance and all the other shit is just out of whack, apparently. And a lot of people are like just complaining.
Yeah. Mm. That sucks.
Other than that, I also tried to go to Crash Bandicoot 4. Crash Bandicoot 4 actually has some difficulty to it. And I'm wondering, is it me getting older? My reflexes are getting slower? Or is this game just actually harder than, you know, the predecessors?
If Crash Bandicoot 4 was made by current Naughty Dog, you would have a whole debacle about Crash Bandicoot killing his girlfriend and whether or not he should have done it. Crash Bandicoot goes on a harrowing descent to madness.
It would have been the crazy doctor killing Crash's friends.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it's like, wow. Why'd you do that?
Y'all hilarious. I'm going to get through the game eventually, but it's just not high up on my list. It is enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But nothing I've played recently, each story is grabbing me right now. That makes me just want to, like, I need to get back on it.
Right.
I started to get play Grand Theft Auto. Shut up. I started to play Grand Theft Auto 5 again to try to platinum it because I only had a few... like little things to do. I think I had like a couple off-road races, which I just did before the podcast today, like 4 off-road ATV races to do and 2 more miscellaneous things.
Oh, okay.
But then I'm reading online that I may have to do the online portion.
Yeah, there's collectibles on there they added over the past 7 years of that game's existence. Like, there's collectibles in there.
They really need not have online trophies.
Yeah, that's always been an issue.
I mean, if it was any other game, they'd be pretty much unobtainable right now. But fortunately, GTA Online is still some ridiculous powerhouse.
Those heists can be difficult without coordination.
Those aren't required for it. It's more so like the older stuff.
I thought the Doomsday heist had 3 achievements attached to it.
What I mean is they have the base game and then they have quote-unquote online expansions that have their own separate list.
Mm-hmm.
So when the base game first came out, they already had online trophies. What I'm saying is nobody's doing regular ass car races anymore.
No, it's been gone. It's over.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really hate when games add stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, I played Resident Evil 8 Village, the Maiden demo last night.
Yeah, the Maiden. All right.
I streamed it on Twitch. Apparently, you're the Maiden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like the other large, tall woman has an actual name. People are figuring out.
There's only one maiden in my heart.
Annie?
And she's 8 feet tall.
Annie is 8 feet tall.
Shut up.
Okay, so no, I'm gonna get this game and I'm gonna play it very cautiously and scaredly.
Record it for social media.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, the atmosphere in this game is chilling. You wake up in a dungeon cell and you walk up to the gates and it just like slams, but you look around and it's like, who the hell is slamming the gate? But it's you. Because, you know, like, you maybe have, like, a foot of distance before you actually, like, hit the gate and it makes a sound. You look around, there's, like, a commode in there with maggots, and you crawl under a bench into the next one to escape, and you're just constantly hearing chains rattling and coughing and all types of manner strange sound, you know.
Everybody got COVID.
That sounds like $60 I'm gonna put in my pocket.
Mm-hmm. No COVID vaccine over there. You walk and walk in the dungeon and you find a body just kind of leaned up against a chair, and I just keep on turning around to wait for it to get up and jump.
Is there
out
an option to kick it?
No. Oh. And I was trying to, because if you play Dead Space, you know if you didn't kill it, it isn't dead.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I just kept on spinning around to check, like, you still there? And I finally, like, walk past at a distance, and you do hear it, like, drop. And I'm like, all right, it's time. But it actually just fell over, and there are bolt cutters in the body's back for some reason. Like, somebody stabbed some bolt cutters in the back.
Oh, no.
You get the bolt cutters, you go back to one of the locked cages in the dungeon, and you snap off the chains, because a couple of them are chained up. I think you get a lock pick or something like that. I don't remember, but as you're picking a lock, there's like a boarded up room right next to you, and you can clearly hear like a beast trying to get out. So the whole time you're just anticipating, as soon as you open this door, this thing is going to start chasing you, but it never comes.
Hmm.
And then in the next room, there's just like the lighting and the graphics in this is really, really next gen. It is something to behold. You finally climb up the steps. Once again, you keep on hearing people walking, and I had the headset on. I'm not sure if this is utilizing like some good ass surround sound or 3D audio, but you're hearing footsteps and you just keep on turning around like, oh shit, is it coming? Finally, I was just like, fuck it, I'm ready. You know, like, I just start running through the house. Y'all are going to get me doing now.
Sean, you're a credit to your race.
You walk around, you know, until you get to like the main foyer area, and they have a bunch of shit you can open up. You know, there's a fireplace, there's a telephone, all that good stuff. You're walking around and you just hear a voice say, I'm watching you.
Oh, no.
It's like, oh, shit. You know, you look around, nothing there. Muddle around in the game. You know, you open up some doors, and then finally the locust or whatever the hell it is, mosquito lady, like materializes in front of you, and does she stab you or bite you or something?
She gives you a bite. Big old bite.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You watched it. You can run away from her, and then I think you finally get a key to open up to the courtyard, and that's when your big old freak, white Megan Thee Stallion, comes and snatches you up. And the demo ends there, and I'm just like, whew, it's over.
Real hot girl shit.
I legit jumped when the door opened and she snatched me up. I just wish I caught that on stream.
Knowing you, I'm surprised you didn't do the Deuce Bigelow. That's a huge bitch.
I'm gonna re-record it. I'm gonna restream that, because it was still interesting. I didn't get to explore everything I wanted to explore, but I recommend. Man. You know what? Not everybody's into Resident Evil, and this is atmospheric as fuck, so I can't recommend it to everybody. But if you're into Resident Evil, check this shit out.
Bet.
That's all for me.
All right. Jordan, what you been playing?
I just finished Control. That's why I call myself Jordan the director, because spoiler alert, you become the director of the game. Of that universe. And it was so fun playing that game in terms of its atmosphere and design, like the perpetual government building office space.
How difficult did you find that game?
It wasn't difficult at all.
Damn, Marcus.
I'm not trying to say like if anyone did have any problems with it.
Not to disrespect anybody, Marcus.
Shut up.
No, I mean, I will say, like, there were some annoying enemies, like, so, like some of the flying ones, but...
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, like, I just packed a lot of my stats into health, you know, and just, like, cushioned all of the blows and stuff like that, and, you know, I barely use any of the other gun types. I just mainly use grip, you know, like...
Is that the main one?
Yeah, the main one was the grip one, like, this is the regular handgun.
Yeah.
Grip and then like the launcher at the end of it, but
yeah,
yeah, man. When Cam alluded to that rock and roll part, I was like, "Yo, let's do that again." That was
the take control part. Yeah,
yeah, like that part was a welcome surprise. Like, you know what? That's very, very good game design. You know, like them just throwing you into a different environment immediately. And overall, like I get a game like an 8 out of 10. You know, its story got a little bit wonky. It was great seeing the Alan Wake callbacks within the collectibles. I was like, oh, shit, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. And also, they're saying there's some callbacks to a secondary project. Well, one of Control's predecessors, Quantum Break, within some of the materials, too. So I think Remedy's trying to make their own little pocket universe in the video game world where their games are, you know, like these... reality-altering video game experiences...
It's all connected.
...are connecting to each other. So, with Game Pass, the base Control game is free, but the DLCs are not. You do get a discount with them if you have Ultimate, like a couple dollars. So, I'll see if I play the DLCs, but, you know, like once I get the credits, I'm like, you know, I'm fine for now, and I'll come back to it later. But yeah, no, the gameplay was fun. Enemy designs wasn't too varied. You could, like, whatever boss you meet becomes like a regular enemy later, you know, that type of game design. And then the game decides you to bombard you with a whole bunch of mini bosses at once, which can be frustrating.
That and the lack of cover in the game were the
those were
the most frustrating parts of the gameplay to me.
Keep moving. If you run out of bullets, just start throwing chairs. I'm like, all right, well, just start throwing chairs at people. That works just as well. But yeah, Control, it's on Game Pass right now. And yeah, I totally would recommend it. After Control, I enjoyed Control so much that I decided to give Quantum Break another try. As I was like before the podcast, I was talking about how Quantum Break was like the last physical copy of the video game I ever purchased, like when it came out back in what 2014 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying it. It does feel like if you mix Control with Detroit Become Human. Because you can make narrative decisions throughout the game that will impact the story. I didn't know about that also, because like literally, Quantum Break was so hard for me to get into because of how underwhelmed I was of the gameplay initially. But now that I have a bit of a excitement towards like fast-paced third-person shooters like Control, Quantum Break is a pretty solid option for me right now. But yeah. That's what I've been playing. I finished up Control, and I'm playing Quantum Break right now.
Cool. Okay. What I've been playing is more Overwatch. As I said last week, it's my Gundam, so I'm just going to keep playing it. And a surprise entrant on what I've been playing, though, is... So, recently I got kind of bored, and I just decided to go on the PlayStation Store and look and see what demos were available, because I was like, you know, let's check something new out. And I stumbled across this kind of point and click game called When the Past Was Around. And anybody who played that point and click game that got a lot of fanfare a few years ago, Florence. It's kind of similar to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I honestly feel like a lot of the point and click variety games explore like loss and relationships. I feel like that's their bread and butter. That's what they usually go toward.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits that type of genre. And this is no different. It's about a female character named, I think it's Edna. Mm-hmm. And her Edna mode. And she is wrestling. Are you thinking of what?
The Simpsons.
Ah, okay. And It's exploring kind of her wrestling with the loss of her boyfriend or her partner. And this game is very heartfelt, though it's also a little off-putting because her partner is a weird owl humanoid thing.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because I looked up images of this and I see this owl. I'm like, so when's he going to mention it?
Like, because at first, when you're going through like the first portion of it and like there's this figure that's shrouded in darkness, you kind of illuminate parts of him early on as you kind of get puzzles out the way. And so you get like to this head and it's an owl head. And I'm like, oh, maybe this is like a symbol for like the last piece of her putting together what his face looks like or whatever. But no, this is just how he looks. The implications are weird, but we're not going to address those because this is a whimsical point and click game about loss. But outside of that aspect of it, it's easy to play. Like it took me maybe like what, less than an hour to beat the game.
So you have beat the game, and yeah. His head doesn't go into a normal head.
He is a owl humanoid the entire way through. And like I said, the implications of that are strange. But you know what? It's cartoons, so let's just let it be. Let's just let it be what it is.
Okay.
But the way they kind of explore the grief, because you know, we see them together, we kind of see how they're tethered together by this one central jingle, you know, that was played. Yes, that exactly. They were tethered by their love for McDonald's. But now they're tethered by this one central tune because he was a violin player, and there's this song that keeps playing throughout the game in different variations. And they come together, we see them in happier times, and then we find out that he gets sick and she takes care of him through that, and then, you know, obviously he passes. And it's just the way that through puzzles they kind of piece together her accepting him not being there anymore and, you know, coming back to her love for music and being able to press forward. And the crescendo of the game is actually pretty beautiful as well. By the time you get to the end, and this last moment of catharsis and acceptance is beautiful. The only gripe I have with the thing is like, some of the
awful.
Yes, the controls are terrible. Just the worst controls I've ever seen. But the puzzles in the game, they do not hold your hand. And on one hand, I really appreciate that because they really do reward you for paying attention to certain things. But some of the puzzles are so cryptic that you really, really have to be paying attention to every little thing and hope that you paid enough attention that something clicks off in your brain and like, oh, that's how you do this particular puzzle. Like, as you get later into the game, it's like, I don't know how I'm supposed to get through this. And then like, I look up like some of the puzzle stuff and I'm like, oh, that's what that meant. I'm an idiot. But it's not like it's right in your face. You should have known it. It's more like that's such a cryptic thing that like you really have to be a puzzle person to like make sure that every little clue syncs up for you. But overall, it's like it's so short. It's inoffensive. It's really cute and nice. And I'm glad that I kind of stumbled upon it. It gave me something to talk about this week outside of Overwatch. So, yeah, if you are into the whole kind of point and click thing and you got a spare $8 and you got like an hour or so to spare, might as well.
The $8 was supposed to go to Black Flag.
I made my choice. I made my choice, Sean. And now I'm gonna pass it off to DJ to finish it up. What you been playing?
So last week I was talking about playing Greedfall. I played a little bit more of it. I really haven't gone back to it. Not because it's not because it's a bad game,
but it is.
mainly because I've been neglecting really Gundam? Really ODing on Gundam. I have hit my second wind of Gundam, guys. I'm really, I mean, normally I don't really talk about Gundam, but I just want to mention
Normally you don't talk about Gundam. Normally you don't.
But I want to mention this because, Jordan, they're doing a fantastic job of supporting this game. Mm-hmm. So right now, it released, what, September of 2019? So this is going on their second year kind of thing.
How many hours do you have in it?
Are you
able to track it?
No, not on my PS4.
I'm curious if you have the amount of hours in Gundam that I do in Apex.
I would say yes. Probably. For sure. like, they're releasing a new map next week, and it's weird to, because like I'm part of the Reddit, so like I follow like all the ins and outs of this game. It's weird to see how just how like dedicated the developers are to making sure that they like craft the experience. And like Gundam is, I've been actually like following the like lore side of Gundam because I just missed so much of it and I didn't even realize. And there's so much fine detail in the Gundam lore that they're capturing in this game that like I sit back and I'm just like, every Gundam that they release, and they release a new Gundam or a new mobile suit, I should say, every week. They've released a new mobile suit every week since September of 2019.
Bet you can't play with them chibi Gundams, though.
No, because no one wants to play with the chibi Gundams. It's all about the tall Gundams, Marcus.
Whack!
I'm not. I don't understand why you haven't.
You're sizest.
But yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to them because like they're really doing a good job with this game. The only downside, and I say it all the time, is the lag. Like sometimes the lag is with you, and other times it is just horrendous.
Is that like the Force?
Yes. It's like the Force and you're a youngling.
I mean, admittedly, when a game is a PS2 port to this generation, I'd imagine it would be a strong amount
and
of lag.
That's how you mute Marcus. Okay?
All right. Well, that's what we've been playing. It was a big one, but we had a lot to talk about this week.
We did.
So,
I'm sorry.
You good?
Yeah, it's okay.
Don't apologize for nothing, Sean. You're right. A strong father. And before we go any further, we're going to have a word from our sponsors. Anybody got anything?
Press X to start. Sponsor this.
But that's us.
You're asking too many questions.
You opened a wormhole, you fool.
Okay. Press X to start. Sponsor us, nigga.
Hey, everyone. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, tell 3 people about the podcast. Could be strangers, could be friends, could be loved ones, hated ones. Who cares? Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at Press X, #2, start. At Instagram at Press X, #2, start. And Twitter, Press X, #2S. And now, on our YouTube page at Press X to start TV. If you've done all these things, well done. You're a real one.
And we're back. And now, it's time for the Quick Hits.
I'm not ready. Number one, this comes from IO Interactive's Twitter account.
You raggedy bitch.
Hitman 3 has the biggest digital launch in franchise history. Cool, props for them. You know, whoever's been following Hitman knows that they actually went through like a quote unquote rebranding 2 games ago. So the first two were like episodical.
Episodic.
I've been playing Hitman since Absolution. And
are you gonna get 3?
Yeah, I already bought it. I currently have it, but I just haven't played it yet.
Oh. Well, excuse me.
Like Absolution was a very linear style Hitman, like the previous ones. To which like each level would have stages, but as you said, once they went like Hitman 2016 or whatever, that's when they had like the huge worlds that didn't have like, you know, segments you go in and out from each part of it. And
that might be what turned me off from it. I have trouble actually progressing because I get obsessive about doing everything in a level.
What they do have is a feature they added on the Hitman 3, at least to address like individuals like Sean. And I totally understand where Sean's coming from. They have like this new thing that allows you to play a level, like they give you tighter direction on where to go and what to do next.
Yeah.
If you want to choose that.
They have a new like side story content in the world. Like the one that I've heard the most about is like in one of the stages you play. It's sort of like the Knives Out movie where there's like a murder mystery happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So
like
that's
you
dope.
So you can actually dress up as the detective and like solve that mystery, or you can just assassinate the person you're supposed to assassinate and just be out. But yeah, props to them. Number two, speaking of props, this comes from cyberpunk.net, guys. Patch 1.1 is out now.
No one cur, next.
But no, also there's been problems with patch 1.1. It is causing crashes.
Really?
Yeah, they apparently have addressed a number of game-breaking bugs and in the process created a new game-breaking bug.
All I'm saying is that they should have
heard you guys wanted a refresher on content.
Number three, this comes from Xbox Wire. So this is a weird one because on the face of it, it's going to not make sense, but there's more to it. No change to Xbox Live Gold pricing, free-to-play games to be unlocked. So this was a thing that happened where Xbox Live Gold prices was actually going to double.
Shit.
And then Xbox, making the wise consumer move, decided to pull back on that. So
it was such a shit storm. They retracted that shit within 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, good for them for moving so quickly. And like, I would give them props because they moved so quickly that this won't even be a news thing next week. Like, people will just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what people won't forget about is number four. This comes from Bloomberg. Blizzard absorbs Activision Studio after dismantling Classic Games team.
Mm.
So this is one of those stories where there's more to it, but because we don't really follow Blizzard all that much, I just got hit with a... Anyways.
It was Vicarious Visions. They made Crash and all that good stuff.
Right. So Blizzard has been very, very adamant that, you know, their studios makes Blizzard games. But in this acquisition or in this absorption, and technically an Activision studio will be making Diablo or working on the re-release of Diablo 2. Remake of Diablo 2. Remake. Number five, this comes from PC Gamer. Oh, these shoes are an RTX 3080 powered PC. I don't know what the fuck to make of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, for some reason, I just feel like it's fake. I mean, like, I'm not trying to say, like, that outrageous PC builds like this are impossible. But looking at the video, I'm like, I don't... It feels like some hype-y shit.
They basically got some high-top shoes with alleged computer parts in it.
Yeah.
Who is that for?
People with money.
It has Dragon Ball Super on it, so like, let me know how much they cost.
You make me sick.
Number six. This comes from VG Chronicle. Ninja Gaiden.
Why you say it like that?
Ninja Gaiden? Yeah, it's Ninja Gaiden. How else do you say it?
It's called Naruto.
You know what, Marcus? Normally you're not funny at all, but that was actually a good one. Fucking Naruto before Naruto was Naruto. Anyways, the developer of Ninja Gaiden has started a new studio and would be honored to work with Xbox.
Say the developer's name.
Yeah, say the name.
Itagaki, okay? Okay.
Hey, look at you.
Yeah. Go ahead. If it's Japanese, I can fucking read it. If it's English.
Oh, you weeb.
So he's actually a developer that made Ninja Gaiden, and also he made Dead or Alive. So cool. I mean, I'm pretty sure Xbox is going to be like, all right, bet. Like, what we got to lose?
Well, I mean, like, it's because if I'm not mistaken, few Ninja Gaidens were like original Xbox exclusives. There's some Ninja Gaidens that were there, and also they had a partnership with the Dead or Alive franchise. Mm-hmm. So, like, the same thing with
Ryu Hayabusa.
With Bethesda, there is already a relationship there between them and Microsoft. So it's not like they're building a new relationship. It's
exactly.
Like, hey, we know y'all got money. Can we have some? It's like, sure.
My one and only memory of Ninja Gaiden on Xbox was playing the game thinking, man, I don't like this.
And it's hard as hell, dude.
Bro, getting to the nunchuck boss guy.
Oh yeah.
And he Michelangelo'd my ass so bad. I was like, well, fuck you too.
No, Ninja Gaiden is a hard ass game. That game was crazy hard.
Mm-mm. Anyways. They pride themselves on ninja punishment.
Number 7. This comes from Game Rant. Apex Legend accused of copying character design from indie game.
Yeah. Indie game called Borderlands.
Whoa. So there's a lot to this if you really want to dig into it. Essentially, on the face of it, what happened was Apex Legends' newest character, Fuse. Yeah, he looks like another character called Hunter from this indie game called Bulletville,
aka Oakland.
Jesus. If you look at the two characters, it's one of those things where they're both generic white Australian type looking people. They're like older white guy with metal arm, and
he has a streak of white in his hair. They both have eye patches.
Yeah,
it's striking. Striking resemblance.
I mean, it's different enough where it's like, get out of here, man.
I mean, like, the thing is, oftentimes when it comes to video games and like development, they could be on two separate paths but still come to the same conclusion because there's so many creatives doing the same thing. Like, sometimes it just lines up like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they didn't take this character. I'm not saying that they did. But one of the things to note was that according to Noah, Bulletville had playtests with EA in October and November of last year. And the character Hunter has been known publicly for about 2 years. Noah provided a statement on the matter to Nintendo Life where it expressed his concern that it would be accused of ripping off Apex Legends because the two characters look so similar. So they're actually getting in front of this and saying like, hey, Apex Legends actually ripped off our character, not the other way around. But I mean, really,
it might not be either.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I will say, like, if anything, this is just going to get more eyes on this Bulletville game because I've never heard of it. And we do a podcast about video games, so.
But admittedly, there's a lot of games we haven't heard about.
This is true.
Well, that's pretty much it for the quick hits.
All right. Now moving on into the heavy hitters. Take it away, Sean.
So, back to Resident Evil. They had a showcase for Resident Evil Village recently. Came out on I don't remember when it came out. But the game is scheduled to come out on May 7th, 2021. So apparently all the villain ladies in here, the internet has gone wild and started making a bunch of Rule 34 stuff.
With a quickness.
Inappropriate drawings and CGI. Apparently they have already ripped the 3D model from the demo. to use for nefarious
there
videos.
Is before this big old tall woman She-Hulk, if you will, even was a thing, there was already an entire category of, like, there was a whole kink based off of this woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew the moment I saw her, I'm like, oh man, the internet about to get real weird.
Well, the kink is being dominated by a like an Amazonian like, bigger like Snoo Snoo. The
Yeah, Snoo Snoo. Bib Mommy Milkers. Yeah.
Futurama.
Yeah, there you go.
Marcus, contain yourself.
I'm sorry.
So they're retaining the same inventory style from Resident Evil 7. I don't remember if there was blocking and parrying in the last one.
No, there wasn't.
But this one allegedly has a destructible environment. I didn't actually watch the showcase because, I mean, If I'm going to get a game, I don't, you know, I'd rather go in blind. So I'm, you know, reading off the list.
I watched the showcase.
But they'll sell Resident Evil 7 and Village together in a bundle if you haven't played 7 yet. Mm-hmm. That is a lot to go through.
A lot of scary.
I'm guessing if you pre-order it, you can play 7 now, hopefully. They teased Reverse, or Resident Evilverse, which is a multiplayer game that pulls together all of the series' favorites. Mm-hmm. But this isn't the first multiplayer game that they've had, because I know you could play, I think, 5 or 6 together or something.
Well, co-op, yeah. But like in terms of a competitive, you know, format, yeah. I think this might have been the first time, right? Like a competitive Resident Evil game?
I'd have to go through it again.
I think so.
No, I mean, they had the... They had one where, like, one person was controlling, like, a trap house. Not a house, but an actual house with traps.
Oh, yeah, that's the, that was the last one.
Yeah, like...
The Resistance, right?
Probably.
Oh, but, like, it's like Dead by Daylight, but with Resident Evil people?
Yeah.
Or like Left 4 Dead, too. Like, you know, yes. Co-op people going through a space together with zombies.
It was wild to see that trailer... After the Resident Evil Village trailer,
it's just like totally different tone.
This went from PS5 to like PS2 quality and graphics. It's like,
I mean, we know you like that though, so you're gonna pick it up, aren't you? Well,
I didn't see not a single iota of giant robot. So,
hey, maybe they don't want to reveal everything. They want to leave stuff to the imagination. Anyway, there was a PS5 demo that I discussed earlier. Not going to reiterate it, but it's a PS5 exclusive. They're going to have a different demo later available this spring for all platforms.
Can't wait to hear about that.
Are any of y'all going to play this?
I'm interested. I might not get it immediately, but I am interested in it.
I might.
Wonderful. 3 people is all we need. Perfect.
Hilarious.
So yeah, as I said, like I watched a trailer. I thought it was visually, it was really impressive.
Yeah, the game is gorgeous.
What were you watching?
I didn't watch it. I watched it on YouTube, but I didn't watch it live. I waited till after, like when they did the higher res.
That's what I was asking. Did you watch it in 4K or 1080 or something?
4K, yeah.
So it looked pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, it looked really good. It's one of those things where for me, there was a couple things. It felt a little weird. For the introduction of werewolves and vampires, it looked very Bloodborne-esque to me, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, even when they showed the hunter guy that, I guess he's known for, like, selling stuff, but in this time, he had, like, a hammer and stuff. He was like, let me see what you got.
Okay, why is it weird to see werewolves and all that stuff to you?
It's weird because I don't follow Resident Evil that much, what I know of Resident Evil is, like,
zombies.
The mansion. I know zombies and dogs.
Resident Evil hasn't been exclusively
zombies
since like Resident Evil 3.
Well, I mean, my knowledge stops right before Resident Evil
3. I think Resident Evil 4, they had you in like an African village and the T virus is.
No, that was a 5. 4 was this kind of like off the beaten path. I think
it was
like,
still a village, though. Type
Spanish village, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but yeah, for a while now, it's been the T virus just infecting and making berserkers, if you will, out of humans, and they have introduced a number of different creatures to fight.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just weird seeing this be so blatantly other mythology.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like following actual genre now.
Right. Yeah, no,
like,
right.
I think they're using this game, like this Resident Evil game, to kind of expand the lore of Umbrella. It's called Blue Umbrella right now. Like the Umbrella doesn't exist anymore. Like they call it the Blue Umbrella, and they're the ones that are like messing around with the T-Virus. And like I think Capcom is just saying, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of monster lore out there. Fuck it. Vampires, zombies, Frankenstein. Yep. Doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just weird.
I mean, essentially, if you think about it, Nemesis is Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, actually, Mr. X is more Frankenstein than Nemesis.
I know nothing of Mr. X other than seeing him in the remake. So I'll just go ahead and believe you.
Well, now we have a new Nemesis, but some people aren't really treating them like a Nemesis. Mm-mm. Some people are treating him like a waifu. There's speculation that many gamers will not finish this game.
Intentionally. Instead, they'll finish to the game.
Like, please ruin my life.
Like the director comes out like, you're supposed to run from her. Run from her. No, you don't run towards her. We are reading the data. You guys are stopping at level 7. Run away from her.
Don't tell me how I watch my porn, damn it.
Stupid sexy giant.
It's like, damn, Americans again. Ruining our product.
Every time I look at her, my gun comes up. I don't want my gun.
Oh, man. All right. And to close things out, the next heavy hitter. So if you've been following the gaming news landscape over the last week or so, then you found out, just like the rest of us, that Mass Effect 2 was supposed to be, in their words, a little gayer, because Jack from Mass Effect 2 was supposed to be pansexual until Fox News stepped in.
Well, like, be more inclusive to other sexualities, and they're like,
yes,
we're afraid of the conservative media.
Exactly. So this comes from Polygon, but in an interview by The Gamer with Mass Effect writer Brian Kindregan, or Kindregan.
Same thing.
Kindregan. Either way. He was saying that they were trying to chart out the arc for Jack's romance, which for much of the development was actually very late. Wait, sorry, this is worded weird.
Yeah, that was... I meant to go back and actually change that, because I don't know what the fuck he meant.
Basically, it was supposed to be that both male and female Shep could romance her, but then it got shifted late in development.
Well, yeah. And being pansexual means that she wouldn't like have intercourse. Or was it? Well, sorry, I thought that's being asexual.
No.
That's being asexual.
Yeah, asexual. Pansexual means that, you know, no matter what your gender identity, so it's not necessarily just male or female. It's no matter what your gender identity is.
Correct.
You
Correct.
Can be romance.
Apologies.
The best analogy I heard for that is...
Watch yourself.
No. This actually comes from Schitt's Creek, and it got like a lot of attention because like people were actually using it. But it's like, you like the wine, but you don't care about the label.
Ah, okay.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever you say.
I love wine.
DJ.
So, basically, the Fox News segment that was aired about Mass Effect 1, after they got wind of a sex scene between Fem Shep and, I think it was Liara?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the writer's room got really skittish after that, and it kind of affected some of the decisions that they made for the follow-up, because, unfortunately, this was a much younger, less revered BioWare at that time, and they didn't want to potentially have less success for the sequel to Mass Effect 1.
Because these outside actors.
Exactly.
Being the news media, and they're ignorant to video game culture.
Yep. And in the Fox News segment, they basically, you know, were making broad accusations of this kind of opening up a Pandora's box for kids experiencing sexuality too early. And one of the news anchors basically said that they don't show women as being valued for anything but their sexuality, which is just completely off base, especially considering, one, you could actually make your Shepherd a woman, and then two, pretty much every woman in the Mass Effect series has their own agency, has their own desires, has things that, you know...
That's not important to their narrative, and they knew it.
That's what I'm saying.
They were doing it on purpose. They knew exactly what it is. It's not like they actually believed any of the shit they said, but they purported it to be some backdoor Sluts 9 in space that you can play, and they're just selling this to your... 5-year-olds.
Wait, hold up. We're at nine already?
Let me just say something right quick before we get too far from this. The video game industry has had an issue in terms of representation of women in video games and how they're being portrayed, which is very similar to other forms of media.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Now, with the Mass Effect franchise, the Mass Effect franchise has done a better job in terms of narrative development, but there are still some areas where it can improve. Like, it's still kind of going into the cisgender heterosexual male orientation. Like,
oh yeah,
it's convenient that one of the super species of the galaxy are all women that never get old, that live for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah. You know, like,
yeah. Yep.
That clearly comes from writing that maybe more focus on like the male stare.
Glaring. Right. I mean, they're basically blue Nameks, except women.
And when it comes to Jack and, you know, like the pressure that BioWare had received the first go around, because Liara was, you know, visually, even though she wasn't a human, she was a woman styled character. Mm-hmm. They were like, all right, well, seeing that this character may have possibly a more unique arc, not to say they're fetishizing her or should not be writing Jack any position of fetishizing her, them because of their gender at a time. It was like, you know, we're going to make sure we have a more diverse group of members of the ship, you know? So like, it's unfortunate it kind of blinked when that could have easily been the route.
Well, the problem with my biggest issue with that kind of accusation that, you know, the women in Mass Effect, and given the way that they were addressing it in video games in general, mm-hmm. were only viewed for their sexuality, is that, like, it clearly was made from somebody who never has played the game before.
Right. That in terms of Mass Effect, in terms of that instance of Mass Effect, that is a clear reality. That
and there's definitely things that Mass Effect and video games at large can improve on in that space. But it's like, it's just misinformation,
right?
Like, on the biggest platform you could possibly have.
Right.
And so that sort of irks me. I mean, it's nothing new. Anybody who's been playing video games for as long as we have been through various iterations of the news attacking the video game industry. But it's just like, of all of the game franchises to go after for that exact criticism, this wasn't the one.
And like, the problem about it is the Fox viewers don't care.
Right. Right.
I remember during the Newtown massacre, which unfortunately, yeah, like I think it was six years since Newtown, mm-hmm. last year. Murderer, the kid, I forgot his name, but you know, fuck him. He had Mass Effect as a game that he played, and that was cited in like the case commentary. Like, he played violent video games like Call of Duty and Mass Effect. And we are educated in this space enough to understand,
right.
that like the tethers of you playing X video game and you committing murder is very loose and almost non-existent. You have a pre-chemical deposition within your brain that, right. allows you to kill people. It, yep. wasn't Call, mm-hmm. of Duty.
Yeah. Like, the other side to this that, like, you know, Jordan's kind of alluding to it, but it's when Mass Effect 2 came out, this was 2010. This was 10 years ago. 10, whatever.
Yeah, almost.
But like, the way that the media interacts with video games now is very different then, right? So
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
to them, this was a big thing. Like, this is a video game that has sex in it. That's ridiculous. That's what they think when they think video games back then.
Man, imagine if they would have had Witcher 3 back then.
Or Cyberpunk. Yeah, they were like,
or Cyberpunk.
Everyone was fucking like crazy.
Dragon Age Inquisition.
The other thing to this is that this is a year after Obama got elected, and this is Fox, mm-hmm. News that's reporting on this. And if anyone remembers, Fox News, well, not even remembers, they're still like this today. Like,
yep.
they are very, very, very conservative. So something like, if they were to got their hands on this character being a pansexual, like, they'd be like, oh, they like pots, or they pull some bullshit.
They would do that.
Yep. So, like, yeah. I totally understand Mass Effect, you know, being like, or BioWare being like, mm-hmm. yeah, let's not yeah. do this. Like, we want to do this, but we already saw how the quote unquote news reflects, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, having sex in the game.
They're allowing you to have sex with pots and pans. What's next, a goat? Right. You want to marry a toilet roll?
That it speaks to the ignorance that continues to exist today,
yep.
In regards to, like, the mainstream media and video, yeah. games in general.
But it's getting better, though.
It's slightly better.
It's getting
slightly better.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Like, of course, all these news publications kind of lead the video game talk to their tech side of their website. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be the Cyberpunk controversy, you know, whether it be the shortages of Xboxes and PlayStations and all that. But I don't know. It's like either that they no longer see value in allowing it being like a top news item, or, you know, like maybe they have progressed in seeing that they're going to look even more crazier talking about sex in video games, seeing that, you know, it's been a thing for a long period of time. The same thing about violence, the same thing about Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat's more violent than it's ever been. Right. And, mm-hmm. you know, you don't see Fox News talking about, like, it's right. like, yeah, there has been a slow evolution over the last 10 years.
The reason why I say that it's progressing is because we're starting to see, like, major, like, news outlets actually have video game sections. So, like,
yes, in their tech websites.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, that's slowly going to happen. Like, the day that Fox News, like, talks about fucking Gundam in a light that's not like Japan's going to fucking take over our women or something.
Does Gundam, like, celebrate child soldiers? Yes, absolutely. Exactly. And the game needs to be stopped.
Do you want your child in the military?
Actually, they wouldn't have a problem with that, TJ. In America.
Be a child soldier.
But I mean, honestly, like, I do understand, you know, why BioWare kind of flinched in that regard, and also kind of made that it's unfortunate they had to make that choice, but I can also get why they didn't want that to be the core focus of their game and that be the only thing that people talked about, because Mass Effect 2 is a great game. Mm-hmm. And so that unfortunate choice that they had to make also led to them getting to release a game where people could just talk about how great it was and how, you know, revolutionary at the time it was. So hopefully, I mean, we've already said that things are evolving and getting better. So, like, hopefully we don't have to, like, have video game companies make decisions like this going forward, and that they can just...
I don't even think that's part of the calculus anymore. I feel like we've progressed to the point where, I mean, also, it kind of just depends on how big the game is, and, like, they're more concerned about, if they're going to make a point, making sure that point doesn't upset that minority, versus how, like, Fox News or even CNN's going to, like, talk about their, whatever, their game.
And nowadays, the biggest controversy for games anyway is, like, them just not coming out ready. Like, no one even cares what's happening in the game anymore. It's like, nigga, is this done? But yeah, so that was the heavy hitters. Mm-hmm. So take us home, DJ.
This has been a wonderful episode of Press X to Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app, and like, subscribe, and share on our YouTube channel for our YouTube
condiment.
Good thing I didn't say condom.
Oh, prophylactics.
Because that rolls off the tongue.
Watch your mouth, boy.
In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressxx2start.com. And soon, but not later, that website will get a little bit of a facelift. So get ready for
just
that.
Just in time for Black History Month.
Botox them balls.
Whoa. That seems excessive.
That's crazy.
Do they get bigger or smaller? What's happening?
They're going to be smoother.
That's smooth as eggs.
That's terrible.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
All right.
You want to out.